And how much notice is given to the owner of record prior to the sale?
Altogether about 7 years.
No, I mean prior to the date of the sale.
Okay, when we receive a property through tax foreclosure, he's already had a 2-year redemption period.
Okay, so you're talking about property that would have not had taxes paid on it since 81.
Right.
Okay.
I thought it was 1-year redemption period.
Well, there's 1-year redemption on properties that are sold by a private interest holder. Right. But those could be at a sheriff's sale, but there is no redemption after the sale.
If I could clarify that,
yeah.
When a property is sold for taxes, it's sold to the county. The county holds it for the 2-year redemption period.
And I thought that was 1 year.
It's 2 years now since the last legislature.
Okay.
We changed it to 4.
Well, didn't we reduce it for the veterans' homes to 6 months, or what the hell did we?
Yeah, we did.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that still stand?
Right. I believe so.
The, I think you get the Mr. Bronner in here. He's the expert.
Yeah.
On
so
we got
the
a,
tax.
We got a variable rate or time rate.
Okay. We'll close the public hearing and open the public hearing on 3224, and call forward B.J. Smith. And anybody else? I see that we wore out the city of West Lynn, and they've scratched their name in the program.
How much time did you allot this illustrious group?
Well, the less time they take, the better they're going to be.
I don't think they heard that.
No, they...
Mr. Chairman, what I may do here is just explain. This, I'm Jim Irvin. I'm a home builder from Portland. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon State Home Builders Association. And the four of us here today include representatives from the Home Builders Association and cities. And we're going to explain House Bill 3234 to the committee and hopefully be able to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Does the fact that they're all there mean they're all on the same side of this bill now?
That is correct, Representative Hostica.
Representative Markham,
is this the same bill 2 years ago that a couple of mayors beat me up on when I got home?
No, Representative Markham, no, it is not.
Okay.
It's the same general concept.
It is the same subject. What we believe, this is a... we're going to present to you a statewide balanced approach to systems development charges, and we have some technical amendments, some T's to cross and some I's to dot, which we'll share with you in a few moments. As most of you remember, systems development charges are those charges levied as a condition of approval at the time of new development, often collected when new homes are built or new permits are issued for new homes. They are often expensive and obviously add to the cost of home ownership. The lack of state policy on this subject has permitted home buyers and home builders and cities and counties to view these charges, these systems development charges, from different perspectives. And although we as home builders have not enthusiastically plotted systems development charges, we do believe they are a legitimate tool to help pay for infrastructure in roads, water, and sewer, and parks. The confusion and tension and even litigation that has been that's been evident by the lack of or the different perspectives that the parties view this issue has brought a lack of certainty that was the catalyst for the bill 2 years ago that the home builders asked to be introduced in the 87th session. That, as you recall, did pass the House and the Senate, was sent to the governor, and he subsequently vetoed it. Following that veto, all the parties sat down together and started working towards a consensus product. Product that we felt could address the problem, that the home builders perceived, and deal with the issues that the city felt needed to be dealt with within this issue. House Bill 3224 is the result of that effort of spending a year and a half working on this subject. I'd like now to turn the microphone over to Marge Kapori from the City of Portland, and she'll give you some of her perspective.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Marge Kapori with the City of Portland. I do want to just make a couple of observations, and then B.J. Smith and Charlie Hales will walk you through the bill and tell you how it works. I'd like to say that it's our pleasure to be partners on this issue rather than adversaries on this issue. Last session was not pleasant for any one of us, and certainly not pleasant for any of the committee members and ultimately the legislative body as a whole, which got involved in the issue. We have worked very hard and very long on a product that we are all proud of and that we believe represents good state policy for the collection and expenditure of systems development charges. We are also proud that we have, we think, done good service both to the state of Oregon in terms of writing good policy and good service to the legislature as well, in that we have resolved our differences peacefully among ourselves and not have brought the continuing war to the legislature to mediate and arbitrate. And I think what this ends up in is a coalition of interests that we can work together in the future on resolving our differences or on sharing efforts toward areas of mutual interest rather than standing apart from one another and continuing to take pot shots at each other. So if nothing else, we have learned how to work together, and we hope to replicate this model on other issues that come before us. As Mr. Irvin stated, we cities did oppose this bill last session, Senate Bill or House Bill 2785, and we asked for it to be vetoed. We opposed it for three reasons, and I'd just like to quickly explain those to you and then tell you just quickly why we support the bill that is before you now. We felt that the 2785 was an overriding of local charters because there was a section that superseded local charters. We felt that the deferral, which was implied in last session's bill, wherein systems development charges could be deferred for up to 1 year, would impose certain hardships on revenue streams which were pledged against bonds, for example, and on other issues that would provide some cash flow problems to cities. And we were concerned about the new legal test that would have been in the law, which was a rational connection test, whereas in the state of Oregon we have a body of law that supports a different kind of connection between the collection and use of SDCs. When we began working among ourselves, we agreed to set aside House Bill 2785 and basically start over writing new legislation that we both could agree to. I think at that point agreed that the legislation should adhere to some principles. And those principles are that local governments needed flexibility in determining how to finance capital infrastructure, and on the other side, infrastructure was very important for home builders because they depend on infrastructure being there in order to support growth and development in communities. We believe that equity needed to be preserved between existing users of a system and new users of a system. In other words, people who have paid their taxes and continue to pay taxes for systems development charges, and new people who come into a community because of growth. We believed on local government side that systems development charges should only be spent on the purposes for which they are collected, and that local governments should be held accountable when they do collect SDC revenues to determine and justify how those revenues have been spent. We believed that statutory language should reflect the difference between a reimbursement or equity buy-in systems development charge and a forward-looking systems development charge or impact fee, and the language does, as these people will explain to you. And we believe that the methodology for determining what a systems development charge should be fair and rational and subject to public review and challenge if people disagree with the methodology for developing systems development charges. But we believed also that the specific processes and criteria for developing those methodologies should be left up to local jurisdictions to decide. we think that this bill speaks to those principles and provides in state law the kind of structure for directing the use and expenditure of systems development charges that was looked for by the parties last year and by the legislature, which voted for a systems development charge last year. And with that, unless you have any questions, I'll turn the mic over to B.J. Smith.
Number three, Mr. Chairman. I'm B.J. Smith. I'm with the League of Oregon Cities. I also have in the audience Jim Coleman, the city attorney from the city of Lake Oswego, who served as a representative of the City Attorneys Association in looking at the bill. One of the things that I'd like to just mention to begin with is that there are a number of states in the last few years that have looked at legislation on systems development charges, and a number of states have crafted legislation. One of the difficulties I think we had, and one of the complexities that we had, is that a lot of people have systems development charges already in Oregon. So we had to not only craft a piece of legislation that I think will work in the future, but also one that works in the present and maintains the best aspects of the systems charges that are in place for cities. So it took us a year to, I think, ferret through a lot of the complexities in the systems that are out there. And we focused on trying to get language in the bill that expressed the how-to rather than some results-oriented case. And we did not try to construct a uniform methodology, but we tried to put limits and restrictions on a responsible methodology that a city could undertake to use systems development charges. In 1985 and 1986, and this came as a little bit of a surprise to some of our cities, the Bureau of Governmental Research undertook a survey to find out how many jurisdictions exist in an existing form have a systems development charge, and the response was about 50 jurisdictions. Well, I think that there's an awful lot more than 50 jurisdictions that have systems development charges in the state, because a systems development charge, the way it's termed in this legislation and was termed last legislation, also would include water and sewer hookups if those hookup or connection charges exceeded the amount that it actually cost to hook up a house. So really, I think we're not looking at 50 cities being impacted by the results of this legislation. You may be looking at 200 cities and numerous special districts that take care of water and sewer throughout the state. So I think that from that standpoint, it's an important bill. One estimate of the cost of systems development charges that are coming into our financial systems to buy improvements is around $10 million. But I think that's incredibly understated. I think when you look at those hookup fees, that it's far more than $10 million. So we were trying to umbrella a bill that will work for a substantial amount of cash that's going into infrastructure development throughout the state. The framework that we have in front of you just before, as I talk you through the bill just a little bit, is that also responds to the fact that there's a pretty wide variety or disparity in the costs for systems charges throughout the state. In some communities, it might be as low as $200 or $300. The upper limit is probably around $2,700 or $2,800. And if you look at that high upper limit, generally the cost there is where it generally occurs in a situation where you have a brand new sewage treatment plant or relatively new that has a lot of capacity that's still unused. And so in those communities, they're paying a high price for that sewage treatment unused capacity. The framework here and the procedures here are not going to equalize systems development charges. They're not going to make everybody pay the same amount. What they're going to try to do is create some uniform thinking about how you establish the cost and what is fair in terms of the cost in terms of equity. So it's not going to bring everybody to $350 or $500, but it's going to make certain that everybody are thinking about the same constraints and factors when they establish that as appropriate to their own infrastructure, which may be on different places on the age curve, different places in terms of growth in the community. That's what we're really trying to get at. I have provided the committee, and I hope it's been handed out, just a synopsis of the bill, which is a technical synopsis. And maybe it's easier to read the bill, but for me at least, I wanted to know where we put different pieces. Yes.
There's no consistency in the cost of the charge for systems development, but mm-hmm. is there a consistency someplace else in terms of what an equivalency is? In terms of, say, a plant that has 400 employees and makes whatever, would that be charged the same sewage equivalencies in one city as it would be in another?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I wouldn't say that you have the exact same charge because, and when you look at, for instance, a sewer plant, the cost of treatment is going to vary because of the standards that are put on the wastewater treatment plant. In some small rivers, those standards are very high. Discharges into the Willamette or discharges into the Columbia, the standards are a little bit lower. So it depends on the cost of treatment. It depends on the type of infrastructure you've decided to put there.
But generally speaking, it'd be so much for a hookup.
But,
and then, and that's usually in terms of a residential hookup.
Right.
Let me
answer that.
And then when you go, the one that I've heard the most about is like laundromats.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of all over the board from one city to another in terms of sewage equivalencies, sewage hookup equivalencies.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, once you've established what that big picture is in terms of your cost, and it's going to be probably pretty unique to an individual city based on all those other factors.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
once you have that unique cost, then there are really two components that you look at. You're going to look at an operational cost for just operating, maintaining, taking care of the waste flow from, say, a laundromat. There are federal requirements that affect almost every city in the state that require them to set up their user charge in a similar fashion so that you would treat laundromats similarly. You would treat, car washes similarly. So there's some similarity there. The other side of that is the capital side, which is the capital construction of the wastewater treatment. And once you have that whole, you should break down what the proportional share is of a new business coming into town, if that's a new laundromat, and they would pay a proportional share of the capital. And that's this bill deals only with capital side. And it really requires anything new coming into a community to pay a proportional share of the cost of the capital construction to take care of that waste.
But one city could say, if you have a laundromat and there's for every four washers, washing machines, that's a hookup equivalency.
Mr. Chairman,
and another city still could say no, it's six.
Mr. Chairman, there is a considerable amount in the literature, especially in that field. There's a considerable amount of literature available about what that would be, and it is in a narrow range of equivalency.
Oh,
I think
okay.
you can go to a piece of literature if you're a planner or an engineer that will tell you use six whatever units for that type of business.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So, Mr. Chairman, Charlie Hales of the Home Builders Association, we don't attempt in the bill to dictate the use of any particular basis. We say you've got to go through this methodology. But a similar thing is true in traffic impact fees. Of course, Washington County has one of the largest in the state. They use the Institute for Traffic Engineers National Manual to calculate how many vehicle trips per day a given land use generates. A house generates this many, a 7-Eleven generates that many. They're sort of generally accepted accounting practices for how you figure out what these equivalencies are, but we're not dictating that you use one source or one methodology.
I think what it does do, Mr. Chairman, is it makes certain that you do have some thoughtful upfront consideration about what those messages are, what the engineers have told you to use, and you have it at hand and you use it when you construct your systems development charge. Just looking to the bill for just a moment, let me say that there are, I can take you through generally the principles that are in the bill very quickly and then come back, and what I'd like to do is just focus on a couple of aspects that may be difficult to understand when you look at the bill. First of all, what this bill is all about, and I'm not going to refer to specific lines now, but what the bill is all about is that the charges that would be considered systems development charges have to be for capital improvements, and it's for a specific type of facility or asset used for water supply, wastewater treatment, drainage, transportation, and parks and recreation. Now, the reason those were chosen are the ones that those are traditionally areas where cities have had systems development charges in the state. The bill does not authorize systems development charges for libraries, for police, for fire, for school districts. It constrains systems development charges to the ones that have been traditionally used by local governments.
Where does it do that?
That's in
section two.
Two.
Thank you.
Okay. Administrative office facilities are authorized only if they're an incidental part of any listed capital improvements. So you're not talking about having freestanding administrative office buildings that have been paid for by systems development charges. Routine maintenance is not funded from systems charges under this bill. So your normal operation and normal maintenance of your system is not funded. You're talking about capital assets and facilities. The methodology, we think, is really the key to the bill, and we get a little bit theoretical, unfortunately, when we try to craft information on methodology, but we do say that the methodology has to be shown to the public by way of an ordinance or resolution, and that's how you show what the methodology is. Now, where it gets theoretical is that we talk about, as Marge was saying, some forward-looking and backward-looking types of systems development charges, and we refer to them as fees. In the bill, there's something called a reimbursement fee, and there's something called an improvement fee. They're both theoretical, and the reason they're theoretical is that you use different factors when you set the fee. You would take into consideration different factors if you are trying to recoup money to pay for a past improvement versus store money ahead to buy a new improvement. And the bill outlines what those factors generally would be if you're working in either a reimbursement mode or a forward-looking or an improvement mode. In fact, most charges, when you look at a whole system of sewer or whatever, some of it may have been financed in the back, backwards in time, and some of it is storing money up for the future. So you really have a single charge, but we get theoretical when we say construct your methodology around a couple of different fees with different factors involved. But there's really a single charge we're talking about, one dollar amount that is paid. One of the other things that's real important, I think, about this bill, and I think it's one of the things that we're most pleased with, is that we try to draw some relationship between our infrastructure planning goals and what the bill should do. And we say that cities will have to include in either a capital improvement plan, a public facilities plan, a master plan, or some other comparable plan, a list of the improvements that would be eligible for systems charges. That gives you some assurance if you're a developer coming into a community that this project was to be included and paid for in part by systems charges. It also gives us a document to refer to when we're trying to explain why the systems charges are as high or as low as they are. We either included a lot of projects or a few projects. So it goes back to a planning emphasis.
Representative Markham.
Today, thank you, today a developer will go to the city and say, give me your city ordinance on that. Is that correct?
That is
this little Hummer passes in, it'll be statewide, all the way from Portland down to Gold Hill.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Markham, what will happen is that the developer will know with some assurance that he can go to a city and get a list of what that city has put in the systems development fee or in the systems development charge. But it won't necessarily mean that you'll have the same elements in Ontario or Riddle as you have in Portland.
Okay.
It's going to be different from city to city, but he will know. He will be able to spot in a list what's there.
And hopefully you won't be like the commission LCDC and move the goalposts about the time you get the streets rough graded out.
The reason this is here really is so that we all know what we're talking about, both when we base the fee and also when we look at our plan and look at how realistic our planning goals are.
Yeah, go ahead, Representative Mark.
When did your group come to closure on this bill?
December. Representative Markham, we talked about this at our league's annual meeting in November, and we were this close, did some instructional work there, and it was just after that when we found agreement and finalized it with
Home. Have you got a count of your membership? What are they, 90% in flavor, or what do you got?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Markham, we've done, I did kind of a test set of sending information as it was available out to about 50 individuals in city. I won't say 50 cities, but I'd say maybe 35 cities, 50 individuals, and asked them to continue to look at the bill drafts as they were being worked on and also give me feedback. And we wrapped up some of that at our league conference and got a reasonably favorable response. It's fair to say that this doesn't please everybody. The question is, can people live under this and see kind of the justification for doing things this way? And I'm reasonably confident that although I'm sure that somebody's going to hear from a city who says, I'd rather have it a different way or no legislation at all. I am reasonably confident that we have included enough small cities, medium-sized cities, and large cities that have anywhere from zero to one or two to four or five systems development charges, and that I've looked at a cross-section, and in generally speaking, they think that this is a workable bill.
Could I throw a figure out that 70% of your people are in favor of it, or would you care to refine that?
Representative Markham, the 70% is as good a number as any. I believe that the majority of the cities are interested in seeing this type of bill, and there's one reason that I think Jim alluded to earlier. That's that since 2785, last session, I've had personally many calls from cities saying we would like to impose a systems development charge. And I have said to them, don't. Because we really need to clarify the law. We really need to make certain that we have some, you know, some leveling off here at the state level so you know how to do this properly and within constraints. So I think that you've got cities that have been waiting for some direction on how to impose fees, and I think that a large majority, maybe it's 70%, maybe it's even greater, of the cities I've talked to that have charges do think that this law will work for them. I won't say that they won't be fine-tuning that they would like to see, you know, after they work under this, but we're giving the cities up until 1991 good time to get their planning preparation up, to develop a methodology so that it's not done, you know, kind of in a six-month way, but so that they have time to really look at this, do the studies they need to make it work. And I think that's one of the good parts of the bill.
But just a clarification, this was not one of the bills that there was talking about a veto override on at the beginning of the session. There was some talk when there was, as earlier as recent as when there might have been a special session, that the issues hadn't been very well defined and resolved at that point, as opposed to the infill bill that we did get a lot of calls on at the beginning of this session from the cities because that hadn't been resolved at that point.
Mr. Chairman, that's absolutely correct. And I think we made great progress after about July, midsummer, trying to get ready for this session and have published that progress as things would allow in the League's newsletter, which every city gets multiple copies of.
Yes. Go ahead and finish up.
Is there a requirement of compliance of this bill by X date?
Yes, there is.
And that date is what?
Representative Markham, July 1, 1991.
It'll force every incorporated town to follow this if it becomes law.
And Representative Markham, one of the reasons for putting that length of time in is because it relies back onto that planning relationship that I'm talking about and a well-constructed methodology. So, yes, there is a date, and I think it's a reasonable date, but that's why it's set forward in time.
Where is that?
Section 8.
8.
Section
6. Oh, thank you. Okay,
I want to finish. Representative Weehead.
I think my question's been answered, but I'll just ask it anyway. Again, I see it here now. This bill really establishes just the rules for imposing a system development fee. And you say that there are 50 jurisdictions now that have one that they call a system development charge. So will those 50 have to pass a new ordinance to comply with these measures? But it allows the other 190 or so municipalities in the state to impose it according to these rules. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Weehage, I believe the situation is that 50 of them call this a systems development charge, and I would suspect that all of those 50 will do some fine-tuning to their existing ordinances. For the vast majority of situations where we don't call these systems development charges, but their sewer connection fees or whatever, they also will go back and have to look at their ordinances, look at their planning base, and probably reconstruct portions or certainly check their analysis and make certain they comply. I think that there's going to be a lot of retooling and redefining the processes within cities as a result of this bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there going to be a mad rush now for the almost 200 other cities in the state that don't have something called a system development charge to get one?
Representative Weehage, I think most of them do have some form of systems development charge. Most of them, even if it's called a sewer connection. One of the things I think in the long haul, and it's very hard to predict, but in the long haul, because you know the rules, it will be easier to comply with the rules. But again, there are many cities in this state, including large cities, that I think have very closely looked at the issue of whether or not they should have systems development charges, and as a policy option have decided that they don't, that they will not have them. So it's very hard to predict. And the last point I'd make in terms of the bill, just before I want to turn this over and make certain that Charlie Hales has a chance to speak here, but the last thing is that this also makes it very clear that any charges collected would be set aside in a fund that's segregated from the general fund. And those funds would only be reserved, those systems development charges would only be reserved for use on the specific types of infrastructure that are included in the bill. And the idea behind all of this is to make certain that we are able to link in some fashion the needs of current and projected development to the use of those funds for capital. There's also another safeguard in the bill that requires people, cities, and special districts that have systems development funds to produce an annual accounting to show how much money has been collected within the community and what projects were funded. And that, quite simply, is how the bill works when you take the complexity and set it aside. Any questions?
Sure. Yes. Are these need to be adopted?
Yes.
Yes.
And those have not been to legislative.